Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Chase McCabe is off this week. He'll be back on Monday, and I hope everybody is getting geared up for some turkey time on Thursday. We will have no show on Thursday and Friday, and I said earlier we're going to cram some stuff that normally you hear on Thursdays and Fridays into tomorrow's show along with our normal programming. So keep that in mind tomorrow as we on the show wrap up the week. Let's head over to West End. Let's welcome in Derek Mason. We talk to him every Tuesday at this time. Coach, how you doing?
Doing well. Man, just got off the practice field, and did my Tuesday presser. And you know what? It's the holidays. So happy holidays to everybody as and we head into Thanksgiving.
No doubt about it. And we've talked about that with you in the past. You look forward to Thursday, right? Stuffing that tummy.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Thanksgiving guy. I like dressing. I like turkey. I'm all about mashed potatoes and gravy. You know, when I can grab it. But you know, I try not to go back for fourths and fifths. But I can get seconds and thirds with the best of them in the country.
Got to do it on that one day anyway.
Yeah.
At least that one day. That's it.
You're right. Fourths and fifths. That may be a little bit excessive.
Right.
Thirds.
Right.
It's okay. What are you thankful for, Coach?
You know what? I'm thankful for family. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for, my team. I'm thankful to be, at Vanderbilt. I'm thankful for all things that I've been blessed with, no doubt.
You guys beat ETSU, and what did that do for the confidence of your team going into this final game of the regular season?
It gave us a boost of confidence. You need confidence. You need to know that the work that you're doing is leading you somewhere. And that game gave us an opportunity to see that we can play good football. It's got to be better. The opponent ratchets up this week as we head into rivalry week versus University of Tennessee, and we know what type of game this will be. It's hard to go to Knoxville and not know what you're in for. And I've tried to, lay the groundwork and plant the seeds for what this game is, how we're going to have to play it, and, excited for it.
Your big man, Jared Pinkney, were you guys doing anything different? Were you scheming him any different in that game on Saturday? He broke free, obviously, for some big plays, or is that just how it all played out for you?
A couple of those were definite targets. For Pink, we went into that game knowing that we needed to move him around and find a couple of easy throws early for Riley. But then, as he got into the floor of the game, those came natural. So, it was a combination of both. It was good to see the big fella get the ball. Kalijah, Keyshawn. It's good when the big three can actually show themselves that way, because it allows other guys other opportunities. But, again, we that's a great game to build off of, but we know where we're at now on a Tuesday. Get ready to head into a Wednesday. We got a lot of work to do, short amount of time, so we got to ride.
I asked you about the confidence of your team and just kind of building that up, getting back in your winning ways. But you've also been on this side of things where Jeremy Pruitt and his staff and his players are right now, where you're riding that high. We've talked to you when things are going well, especially at the end of a year. So you know they've got tons of confidence in what you're battling on that front.
Yeah, man, they got tons of confidence, man. That's a good football team. Coach Pruitt's done a dynamic job of bouncing back from a slow early start, and they played well. I mean, they played as good a football in the SEC over the last 5 weeks as anybody. And when you look at Garantano and what he's doing, he's orchestrating it back there. He's got two really good running backs, and Ty Chandler and Jordan. He's got tight ends, he's got wide outs. When you look at Callaway, Jennings, and Palmer, those guys can stretch it, and they open up the middle of the field. So we definitely got our work cut out, but that doesn't mean, man, that for us, man, we're not going to do what we need to do. When you talk about football, you got to play the game. So we definitely respect who they are and what they have. But, we're going to show up and we're going to look to play a great ball game.
Coach Derek Mason is on the line with us. Tennessee and Vanderbilt square off on Saturday in the regular season finale. And coach, you had a shutout. It's you know, the results are very good defensively as a group, but Odengbo continues to really stand out. He's a talented player. What kind of development have you seen from him this year?
You know, he's matured, and he has, both physically and really with his understanding of the game. You know, I thought he still needed to harness like what he was doing, but now, you know, he's done a great job of, you know, doing his job, and you know, sometimes when you're just doing your job, opportunities come your way, and you know, he's progressed into, you know, a really good, you know, defensive end who can play three technique. He plays down inside sometimes, but when he's on the edge, you know, like he's a terror as a pass rusher, and he's just now growing into his length. He understands how long he is. He's starting to play with his length a little bit, and it takes guys a while, you know, sometimes as their bodies are still growing to really understand that. But you know, he's playing with confidence, and he understands what this game is. He's played in this rivalry game. And, you know, I mean, I definitely expect him to show up and play well.
You've got a large nucleus that I know you like on defense coming back to you next year. So how important is this game to you to really put a finishing touch on this entire year and have some momentum going into next year?
Yeah, that's what it's about. I mean, you try to finish one chapter, in the right way so you can start the other one like the way you want to. And that's my message to these guys. I think they get it. But they know, okay, this is our opportunity. Okay, I mean, this is the last one we get in 2019, and we get a chance to do it together. And we've got to go to somebody else's house and get do something that we haven't been able to do this year, which is, you know, maybe get a victory on the road, and that's got to happen. That's how we have to work. And the way you practice is really the way you play. So I've got no doubt that, you know, Tennessee's going to show up and play well. The thing is for us, man, we got to play our best ball, and we need it now.
It was not a big sample size, but when Mo Hassan played, he played well. He certainly gave some energy to the team, and he showed that he's got a little bit of a different skill set. You announced today that, and it's not a big surprise, he just has not been able to come back. It's a sad thing when this kind of thing happens, right? For him to, he was patient, he waited for his opportunity, looked like he was going to have a really interesting chance to get a chance to play a lot more, and now all of a sudden not able to do so. So what does his future hold?
You know what? Mo is so diverse in terms of, you know, man, what he can do. I mean, Mo's a senior. I think for him, he'll finish, you know, in his career here at Vanderbilt, and then Mo's got everything from his charitable foundation to, you know, the possibility of grad school to other possibilities out there. I mean, right now, you know, man, he's a pretty sought after man in terms of what lies beyond football. We've had talks during his time here. He loved the sport. He's always been a competitor, and he competes at everything that he does. And you know, this won't be the last time you hear his name, whether it's, you know, with his charitable foundation, Second Spoon, or whether it's, you know, him going on to law school or medical school. This young man's got a bright future.
Another storyline that I know Vanderbilt fans follow, and I saw that there was a great tribute paid to him on Senior Day, was the whole Cockrell story, Turner Cockrell. I saw some people wearing the 82 jerseys and stuff like that, so sort of closing off that chapter of his eligibility. You know, you know what I mean? Would have been a senior there. That was great to honor him in that way.
It was. He came in with these guys, for Randy and Noel to be here and be honored by Commodore Nation. For the things Turner brought to Vanderbilt, every person that comes here brings something special. Turner was not, only a good football player, man, but he was a great person, and I think he affected a lot of people. And that's been witnessed over the last year. But, you know, the way he lived his life was about, you know, trying to be the best and making people around him better, and his family, as well as Cody Markell and you know, Turner's Heroes is going to continue his legacy. And so for us, man, it was just a great way, you know, to cap, you know, Senior Day, you know, with a win and really honoring not only those seniors, but, you know, man, Turner, who's gone but always with us.
Derek, thanks for doing this. As always, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and best of luck in Knoxville on Saturday.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Anchor down.
All right, that is Derek Mason, head coach at Vanderbilt, and he joins us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. We will come back with more here on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. It is the season for giving. We're going to give you a chance to get something here very soon. You're going to be listening to this. But we're also going to ask you to give, because ESPN 102.5, The Game, is in that spirit. And, look, Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then we're heading into December next week. And so, you know, Christmas is just around the corner. We're going to ask you for some donations of toys and winter clothing, school supplies. We're going to be accepting all of that here at our game studios at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, right here by the airport. But we're also going to be out and about, and we're going to have donations that will benefit our kids, the homeless, and the Pencil Foundation. And on Wednesday, December 4th, at Sudden Service Convenience Store, that's located at 6029 Nolensville Pike, Nashville. That's between 6 and 10 a.m. So morning drive will be there. And they're going to ask you to pop into that location and give. Also, we're going to be giving away stuff here at our studios. And we're going to be giving away a Nashville Predators Winter Classic jersey. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. 102.5 The Game. Season of Giving brought to you by Sudden Service Convenience Store. So we're going to do our show out a couple of times at Sudden Service. All the shows. We'll do a couple of shows out. And that day that we're out, we're going to ask you to stop by and give. The rest of the time, you're going to be popping here at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike. You know what Willie and I, our families, have been doing, along with Pat Sperduto, who is the godfather of this. I mean, his family, the Sperdutos, have been doing this forever. I mean, he was doing it when he was the Nashville Cats coach, wasn't he? Is it go back that far? Willie, I don't know. We'll have to
absolutely
ask. We'll have to
oh,
ask.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It goes okay back to those days.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, this has been going on decades.
I mean, I think actually he was doing it just by himself, mm-hmm, well before that. Going, and he's got the story. We'll allow him to tell
the
story.
Starting next week, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to start hearing. You're going to hear Pat come on with us, getting the word out of what we need. And we've been doing this for years. If you've been listening to the show, listening to the station, we had an unbelievable turnout last year of people showing up to the radio station and dropping off, whether it was coats, jackets, sweatshirts, shirts, pants, socks, which is very important, gloves. And so we'll get that message out starting next week, and we're going to need you to get involved again. But we're going to kind of broaden that. It's not going to be just the show and what we do on Christmas Day morning, where my family and the Donicks and the Sperdutos and others are out handing out food and clothing downtown to people who are less fortunate than us, and they don't have a home and they don't have a roof over their head. And so we're going to help them out, but we'll need your help as well to do that. So be listening, because like I said, next week we're going to hit this thing hot and heavy. It's going to be December. It's all around. It's just around the corner. And so speaking of that, we'd love for you to get involved. This is kind of like a two-pronged question that we can have a little fun. And you know what? We'll award somebody who calls in with something that gets our attention. Okay. One, we're going to ask you, one, what are you thankful for? I asked Derek Mason that. What are you thankful for? Take that however you want. And two, it's always fun this time of year, as we get close to wrapping up a calendar year, kind of a bold prediction, because we got into a really good conversation in the third hour about how the playoffs, this is all going to play out. Another installment is coming out tonight, the rankings. And I don't think really anything's going to change, but we know things are about to change. But you could take a bold prediction however you want, sports-related. However you want to take it, feel free. It does not have to be college football. It can be anything in the sports world, especially here locally. So what are you thankful for? And give us your bold sports prediction that you would like to throw out here in late December. 737-1025, 737-1025, because we've been kicking around a lot of topics here in the last couple of weeks, right? The future of Derrick Henry, the future of Ryan Tannehill. What does it look like here? certainly we hit the Kyle Turris situation hot and heavy today at the beginning of the show for a good while. How's that going to play out? So just be curious to see where people take a bold prediction. Austin Peay wins the OVC. They're headed to the FCS playoffs. They're going to host Furman. Who knows where that goes? So take it however you want. So how would you, what would be your bold prediction?
A bold prediction. A bold proclamation.
Did I say we had Post Malone tickets, Bridgestone Arena?
Post Malone tickets. I'll tell you what.
I'll get my hands on some of those.
That's going to be a hot ticket. 737-1025 if you want to jump in there. A bold prediction.
I saw Post Malone on Sunday night. What was the award show? American Music Awards, I believe that's right.
Yeah, I think that's
what he was doing. He was up on stage with Ozzy Osbourne.
Really?
Post and Ozzy getting it done.
It's weird how we, at least for me, how we process music different. Like, I'm all over Spotify, and I'm like a lot of people. I take a song from this person, a couple of songs from that person. When we were growing up, it was all about you got the album. Right, you listen to the songs on the radio, you watch MTV, and then you decide what albums you want to buy. And so you listen to a lot more albums start to finish. I don't do as much of that as I probably like to, but I probably listen to more artists this way as well. So Post Malone, he just pops up. I find scattered songs like, oh, that's Post Malone too? Oh, I like that. You know? And the next thing you know, you're like, got six or seven songs. You're like, ooh, that's good. Now he's coming in the concert. I know a lot of people are like, he's hot stuff right now. I got to believe some people want these tickets.
I would think so. The lines are starting to load up. It's very simple.
All right, I'll make a,
just
I don't know.
Give us a bold prediction.
This may not be that bold, but I will predict that the final game of the regular season, the Texans and the Titans will play for the division. That game will be for the division championship.
I still think that falls
in the
category.
Is that moderately bold?
I think it's not, yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's about a 5.
I got to go. It's got to be a 6.
6, maybe a 7.
Because that means that they more or less have to win this game on Sunday against the Colts. And we know how few times they've beaten the Colts.
Did you hear Joe Rexroad tell us earlier today? They are 1-10 in their last 11 stops in Indy.
Right, but was it 2 years ago that they did beat Indy with Jacoby Brissett as the quarterback? So they have recently gone. The one win was fairly recent.
And how many division crowns do they have? How many times have they won the division?
Well, I think we know the answer. It's been a while.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That moved it up even. Maybe it's a 7.
But I
for
think
bold
they
prediction.
Have. I think they have what it takes to go up there and win. We'll find out. I just think there's something going on with Henry. I think they have a formula. That now they have a confidence as a result. They have a quarterback that is confident, and they have a weapon that they're finally figuring out how to maximize with Derrick Henry. And usually when the weather turns colder and there starts to be wear and tear on defenses, that's when Henry can be most effective. So I think they're going to be in this thing. I think they'll have a chance.
Yeah, it's not very bold.
There's a couple different ways they can get there.
The way you're presenting it. Because I'm just going to tell you right now, this was going to be my bold prediction, and I'm going to get more points than you. I'm just telling you, I don't know why I feel this way. There's no reason for us to feel this way about that team because of their past and what we've been accustomed to. But I keep bringing it up because I'll keep saying it. If you don't do it now, when are you going to do it? The bold prediction for me is they are going to win the AFC South. They're going to win the division.
They're going to win the division.
They're going to win the division. It's not going to be like,
so you're bolder.
They're going to be
because you're saying they're going ahead and win it
right there, and they're going to be playing for the division. That's okay.
I think it will come down to the last game, like it did last year.
I think you get less points because you're just like, okay, the last game is going to be important.
Well, you're one upping me. That's what you're trying to do. You're one upping. You're saying they are going to win it.
They're going to win the division.
Okay. Will their record be 10-6, or 9-7, or you're just saying one way or the other? that win the division.
I am...
Because 9-7 winning the division is a possibility.
Yes.
It is a possibility.
Yes.
In fact, for example, if they won the three division games, unless the Colts won all the other games and the Texans won all the other games, that would do it. As long as, you know, for example, let's say the Patriots beat the Texans this weekend, which is obviously very possible, although I think you're going to see the Texans play really well in that game. This is a good time, I think, as good a time as any. If there is a good time to play the Patriots, I think the Patriots are at that stage where they're going to lose one in there somewhere. Maybe even two. They have some cushion.
I don't know why I feel that way, but I just do. I just think they're going to win the division. And maybe on Monday you're going to be like, boy, that was dumb.
That was dumb. Well, that's why it's called bold predictions.
That didn't take long for you to have that feeling get evaporated.
Okay. Well, let's see what some other people come up with here.
But that's ironic that you went there because that's where I was going. I just decided to one-up you a little bit. 737-1025, what's your bold prediction? Michael, get us started.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My bold prediction, it was just more along the lines of what y'all been saying. I think Titans are going to win a division, but I'm going to one-up both of y'all and say that we win out the rest of the year on the back of Derrick Henry leading the league in rushing.
So, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. So, they're going to win out? So, that would be, what, a 7-game winning streak to finish the season? Is that right? They've won the last two. They win the next five. So, a 7-game winning streak, and Derrick Henry is the leading rusher in the league. That's bold. Okay. I like that. Michael, thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem. Y'all have a good day.
You too.
Let me ask you this. How bold would this be? When I say this, I know it's not that bold, especially in light of last night. But is Lamar Jackson the MVP of the league right now?
I think so, yep.
Now, that would have been a nice bold prediction in week one. Like, going into the season, if you said Lamar Jackson will be the MVP of the league, like, who else could it be?
I can't imagine anybody really putting that out there. That would be absolutely.
I wonder what Jimmy Shapiro odds would have been week one.
Pretty high.
Before week one.
Pretty high.
You could have gone to Vegas.
Like,
put
Russell
a few
Wilson
bucks down.
Is right in the thick of things. That's not bold. Right?
Because not as bold.
Not anywhere near.
Right.
But Lamar Jackson, oh, you could have gotten some good odds. Going into the season? By the way, Justin Fuente, he is being linked to the Arkansas job.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
We know Arkansas has got one thing. They got some money.
Yeah.
Some deep pockets. They're not afraid to throw some money at some people.
Interesting. Let's go to James. James, your bold prediction is what?
Hey, guys. How's it going? I just wanted to call in and switch it up a little bit. I'm actually going to go with a Vanderbilt, Tennessee bowl prediction.
Mm, okay.
I think Derek Mason knows, you know, he's excited to know that he's coming back next year. And I think he's going to try to end on a positive note and go 4 in a row. And he's going to go in and take down Tennessee.
Really? That would be bold.
It's a bold prediction, but I think he's going to make it happen.
I just looked at the current odds. It is now up to 22.5.
I saw that. 22.5.
5 weeks ago, you would have laughed at that notion that Tennessee would be a 22.5 point favorite over anybody.
And that's, you know, I feel like that's a little high.
I agree.
In some ways, but that's a different discussion.
Either
than
way,
winning
it's still
the game.
Bold. It's still, bold, I mean, James is saying they're going to win the game. That will get everybody's attention, and that will just completely evaporate the whole storyline and the feel good of what Tennessee's done to this point. So you believe that it's going to be 4 in a row?
I think he's going to make it happen. The 22.5 spread is it's a very big spread. I don't see that happening for sure, but I think they're going to go in and make it happen and take them down and D1.
Interesting. All right, James, thanks for the phone call. That is indeed a bold prediction. And we will absolutely remember that call if it happens. 737-1025, 737-1025. Your bold predictions. More phone calls on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 1025, the game. Well, you'll hear this in March at Bridgestone Arena. That's what we're giving away. If you call in and participate, your bold prediction, that's all you have to do. This is Circles. This is one of our warm-up songs, Willie, for Tidal Wave Baseball.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
A good call.
This and Jonas Brothers, Only Human. Those are two big hits.
Yeah, I refuse to play. I'm not playing that one.
For the boys. No, it's for the boys, man. The eight-year-olds, they're all about it, man. This gets them going. This song, too. So this was our Tidal Wave circuit on in our rotation, as you would say. Well, it was in our rotation.
In the rotation. On the playlist, yep.
By the way, before we get back to the phone, 737-1025, you brought up Lamar Jackson. Adam Schefter just tweeted out a little bit ago. He is the odds-on favorite to win the MVP race in the NFL. He is going off currently at 1-3. Do you know what he was at the beginning of the season? To your point of what would it, you know, can you imagine the bowl? Just to show you how bold, what do you think the odds were? He's 1-3 now. What do you think they went off before the season began?
Got no idea.
Marquise, you got a guess?
I want to say Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey. He had to have been like third or fourth, so whatever.
Oh, no, he was not even close.
Really?
No.
It's Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, probably Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson.
There was Barkley, Kamara. I mean, there's a whole slew of guys.
I mean, it's obviously a huge number.
So 75-1.
Wow.
Okay.
75-1 is what you could have got Lamar Jackson, and now he's a 1-3. Almost, dare I say it, that's like a heavy favorite.
Man, I could have been selling that ticket mid-season.
You could have had those right. You could have had them giving you an offer. By the way, if he were to win, at 22 years old, he would be the youngest quarterback in NFL history to win an MVP, if that happens. Let's go back to the phones. A bold prediction. What do you got? Charlie, what do you have?
Hey, guys. Happy early Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
So you guys kind of took it away from me with the AFC South. I think the Titans are going to win the AFC South. They are indeed the dark horse in this division. Now, my other take is Ryan Tannehill will be named Comeback Player of the Year this year.
Hmm. Ooh, I like the little twist you threw in there.
Yeah. I mean, started out as a backup quarterback, but because he's injury prone, and now he's taken over as starting quarterback and turned his team around. I mean,
Charlie, are we crazy? I mean, think about what. Why on earth would we feel good about with five to go that this team can do? I mean, all we have talked about for season after season is disappointment, inconsistencies, up and down, and roller coaster ride, and not being able to finish the job, and 8-8s and 9s and 7s. Why do we think this year it's going to happen?
Well, the thing is, with this year, we've been inconsistent with Marcus. Now, I know that's hard to believe, but with Ryan Tannehill, we're about, I think, 5-1? But I think that Carolina game was just a fluky game that, you know, the whole offense – I mean, think about it. Tannehill played really good. He didn't play bad. Just the whole offense just didn't have it together. But I think they're starting to pull together. And, I mean, think about it. We got five tough opponents, and what do we do against tough opponents? We usually win.
Well, you're right about that. Hey, you're right about that.
I only think they'll struggle against the Raiders. But, you know, again, it's weird, but, I mean, that's Titans for you.
So, Charlie's going with Titans win the division, and a little twist, Tannehill, comeback player of the year. All right. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, guys.
That Raiders game does concern me from the travel standpoint, going out west. Never easy.
Who are some other candidates?
For comeback player of the year?
Yeah.
Good question. Boy.
I'm trying to think.
Let's ponder that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who he's in the running against. We'll go to the we'll
yeah,
go,
keep
we'll
going to the phones. I'm trying to think of who else.
737-1025.
I need to put some lists in front of me, some players in front of me.
How about Dave? Dave, what's your bold prediction?
Well, I'm just glad I'm not having to sing for these tickets like I tried for those Guns N' Roses tickets way back.
Oh, boy. We need to bring that contest
back. I know.
Back.
We haven't done that in a while. We need to sing or play the music backwards. We haven't done any of that.
Remember the day of the eclipse? We had people sing for the total eclipse of the heart.
We were at the
at the
downtown
Omni.
Yeah. So what do you got right, for us, Dave? We're not going to make you sing.
So yes, of course the Titans will win the division, and they will have a first round win, little revenge game against the Bills. Will be their first win. Oh, you can give your score for that. 24-13. The Bills lose to the Titans in the first round.
So they beat Buffalo in the wild card game.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Rematch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would Jimmy Garoppolo be in competition with Ryan Tannehill for comeback player of the year? Not that he's had a fantastic year, but they're winning games. He hasn't lit it up, but he's been solid.
Well, he got
solid.
Hurt at the beginning of the year, so yeah.
Well, he's clearly
he missed the whole year.
Well, I know, but he's clearly coming back. He hasn't I don't know if you would say he's the reason that they have won all these games. Their defense has been unbelievable.
Look, you can give their defense
credit,
and
they
deserve it, okay?
But he's good.
But remember, because the Titans went out there and they lost to the 49ers. He won, what, those five the last five games of the season for an awful 49ers team, right? Didn't they go 5-0 with him to end the season? And they were over or maybe had one win?
Oh, yeah. They were
good. Awful. That's not a stretch at all. It's not a coincidence that they're having, what are they now, 10-1?
They're dominating.
So basically, they've been 15-1 since he's been the starting quarterback. Now, do you just think that's because it's good defense?
Not at all.
I mean, did their defense get better this offseason with signings and with the draft? Yes, way better.
So you would say
but
he's
still,
the favorite.
Look at Jimmy G. Look at the 49ers without Jimmy G last year. And look at since his body of work since he's been under center.
So we're saying he is the comeback player of the year.
Oh, there's no question. Now that you say that, yeah. And I just
as of today,
Brad tweeted at us and said that, yeah, there's no doubt.
If Tannehill is even in the discussion, that's good news for the Titans.
Here is a bold prediction by Nick on Twitter. Freddie Kitchens is out. That's not a bold prediction. But Jeff Fisher is in as the next Browns head coach. That's bold. I don't believe
that'd
happening.
Be fun.
That's not happening.
That'd get people talking. Hey, you know, the Browns, if they somehow beat the Steelers with the Steelers playing basically their third string quarterback, 6-6. Climbing back to 6-6 is pretty interesting.
Yeah, the schedule's been kind of favorable too.
You can't apologize for that.
No.
If you're the Browns.
No. Tennessee Ed, what's your bold prediction?
My bold prediction is the Titans go to Indy, win the game, which opens up the wild card wide open, especially if the Browns beat the Steelers, and that we re-sign Tannehill for at least a 2-year deal and take over at least the second spot, maybe possibly the first spot in the division.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. I don't think that's that bold. Tannehill comes back. They beat Indy, even though it's bold because they're 1-10 in their last 11 trips to Indy. But it's not crazy. I mean, the line is a field goal.
Well, something that I hadn't thought about until Joe Rexroad mentioned it, and I've used to think this about Mariota, and of course, John Robinson, if he ever heard me say it, is probably laughing now in the category of freezing cold takes, mm-hmm. right? Because I was saying, like, lock up Mariota while you can at a bargain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yes.
But the same principle might apply here. If you feel like Tannehill is going places, make the commitment now before he hits the open market and there's several teams that vie for him and you get him at a bargain?
Easy. No.
Even if it was a short term?
Let's see the next five.
You want to see more, even if it ends up costing you more.
Does anybody have a bold Mariota prediction? Don't have that right now. Anybody have a bold Marcus Mariota prediction?
Is it out of the realm to think that in one of these games down the stretch that Mariota might have to come off the bench for a section of a game, at least a section of a game, maybe even start one of the games?
Let's go to Chad.
That
Chad,
he may not be done.
Your bold prediction is what?
Y'all seriously just said that right before you answered my call. My bold prediction is the Titans will meet the Ravens in the playoffs, and it will be RG3 versus Marcus Mariota. Mariota wins that game.
Let me tell you something. That could be a winner.
That could be a winner. That's bold.
If that happens.
That's creative and bold.
Yeah. Chad, thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, did you mean that, or were you just – For
no,
a fact.
I was waiting to tell y'all that, and then you were like, does anybody have a Mariota prediction? And I was like, come on.
That's outstanding. Good timing. All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Mariota versus RG3.
But honestly, how compelling would it be? Like, what if it was the last game of the season? Remember the whole controversy last year, he wasn't available for the last game where they had a chance to get to 10-6.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be crazy if Tannehill
wasn't
banged
available,
up, and now Mariota has got to be the guy to try to get you the division? That would be something.
I just got a text from someone that said, bold prediction, Darren finally gets on the board in silly underdog picks. That's not bold because that has happened. That has happened.
Stay
tuned tomorrow.
I can make a prediction. I can make a bold prediction on who that actually was that texted you that.
Stay tuned tomorrow. We'll come back. We'll wrap up with more phone calls. Now we're feeling those bold predictions. How about that one? Okay. 737-1025. Post Malone tickets on the line. We'll finish up Tuesday's show with more phone calls next. It's like Twitter is listening to our conversations today. The minute we start talking about things, just things get tweeted out. Odds, according to Superbook USA. This just came out. Activate. Brand new odds to win the AFC South. This is just out in the last minute or so. The Texans, minus 190. Titans and Colts, plus 350. Jags, plus a million. It's about
plus
the same. I mean, it's like plus 5,000. I mean, they're just like they're
pick a number. Plus
Superbook said. Superbook said they're done. They're plus dead. They're done. So Texans minus 190, Titans and Colts plus 350. So that's a pretty good gap between the Texans and the rest. So according to Superbook, they still feel very strongly about the Texans.
Okay.
As the favorite. So these would fit under the bold prediction category, according to Superbook USA, because they still think the Texans are a pretty sizable favorite. Let's go to Tim. Tim, your bold prediction is?
Let me first say that Lamar Jackson was a 75-1. He had 75-1 odds to win the MVP preseason. I just saw that on TV yesterday, actually. But
I said that last segment.
I was out of the car, so I must have missed it.
Yeah, he's 1-3 now. He went off before the season 75-1.
Yeah, I know I heard that earlier, but my bold prediction is that this is the year that the juice unseats the pecs and UC Saros becomes the number one goalie and starts game one in the playoffs.
Wow, Tim, UC having back-to-back starts, by the way. Collecting two wins over the Blues.
Well, and
six straight starts of giving up two goals or less.
He's played really well as a starter. Now, mixed in there, he's had two relief performances where
they've not gone well.
They have not gone well at all, but the starts have gone very well. And Peter Laviolette said something that I think sort of shed some light on this is an evolving process, right? They've known for years that this, as time went on, that there was going to be a continued development of UC Saros, and an aging process for Pecorine. And, of course, it looks extreme right now because Pecorine has had some issues. He's had some bad luck. He hasn't been super sharp. Saros is starting well. And they have a decision to make tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
In this is new. But Peter Laviolette said it in our pregame show last night. He said, we went into the season with the idea that if UC Saros was hot and earned another start, we would go with him. If you look through the history, when both goalies have been healthy, even if Saros has had a great start, he usually doesn't get the back-to-back. I shouldn't say back-to-back. That would imply that it's consecutive days. But two starts in a row, they would always
starts,
go back to Rene.
Yep.
Now they might be at a stage where ride the hot goalie a little bit more if it's Saros.
I like where your head's at.
Now, I don't know if we could get to that. Playoffs is a different deal. That's pretty bold.
Yeah, that's no, I'm saying that that's good for him. I mean, that's bold. That's being out there. Thank you for the call.
All right.
It's a little bit different take. I give him credit for that. A little bit take.
I think it's an interesting debate on who you'd start tomorrow. You have back-to-backs Friday, Saturday. So they're each going to start one of those games for sure. So who gets this start?
Well, do you know for sure?
I don't know.
I'm saying, do you know for sure? I mean,
no, I'm saying there's a really good argument to just keep going with Saros.
Right. That's
right?
What I'm getting at. So you don't. In the past, we would say we know for sure, but I think to this, I don't know if we know for sure. How about
what is Jimmy Shapiro or Superbook's odds?
Well, we've talked about it, so the tweet should be coming here any second. New odds. UC Saros to start Friday and Saturday. Luke, what's your bold prediction?
That Marcus Mariota will be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears for his old college coordinator, Mark Helfrich.
When will that be? Next season? He will start. He will open up the season as the starter?
He will.
Hmm.
That's my prediction.
Now, that one has been floating.
But
and as long as Trubisky is floundering the way he is.
But I wonder what do they do with Trubisky?
There was a midseason talk of them trading Mariota for him midseason,
right.
But I think he'll be the starter next year for sure.
Mm, interesting.
And Trubisky will be the backup, or they will find a taker.
What is
for
Trubisky?
Him.
Where is he gone? Do they throw him in the lake, or is he the backup?
they'll trade him somewhere, I think. And there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks available: Andy Dalton, Case Keenum.
Maybe Rivers, maybe Manning. Yep.
Oh, yeah. A lot of quarterbacks available this offseason.
No doubt. All right, Luke, good call. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, we got some good bold predictions here. We'll get a winner. We'll give somebody Post Malone tickets.
On the way out, class of 2020, modern era semifinalists for the NFL Hall of Fame. They have announced them. Pretty long list, but includes, once again, Nashville resident Steve Hutchinson, former Titan. So he's been right there.
He's going to get in.
Right there the last couple of years. Is this the year? We'll see.
Is this the year? I saw where Fred Taylor is on that list.
Yeah, I mean, I can super fast read him. Steve Atwater, Carl Banks, Rondé Barber, Tony Boselli, Isaac Bruce, Leroy Butler, Alan Faneca, Torrey Holtz, Steve Hutchinson, Edgerrin James, John Lynch, Clay Matthews, Sam Mills, Troy Polamalu, Simeon Rice, Richard Seymour, Steve Tasker, Fred Taylor, Zach Thomas, Hines Ward, Ricky Waters, Reggie Wayne, Patrick Willis, Darren Woodson, and Bryant Young.
Whew, that'll do it for us. Get our breath. Everybody have a great rest of your day. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to close out the week. We'll talk to you then.